Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
She stunk the whole place out with it. Oh, blimey. In it again.
Carry On Henry. A hilarious look back into history at the hits, misses, and mistresses of Henry VIII.
Do you, Henry, take this woman to...
I do, and so does she. Right, love, that's it. Through there.
Not only that, it is said to greatly increase one's sexual appetite.
I got news for you. Come the morning, you're going to be starving.
Act the part of a loving husband.
Impossible.
Yes, well, perhaps in the meantime you could make some other arrangements, sire.
What other arrangements?
Like taking a mistress?
I am the king, with a proud family motto to uphold. Non crepito suum genuum. Never spit on your own doorstep.
Carry On Henry. The Carry On courtiers in a right royal romp around Merry England.
Oh, come on. We're not in the ages to look for needles, are we?
Carry On Henry. Produced by Peter Rogers and directed by Gerald Thomas. Stars Sidney James as King Henry VIII. When he reigns, it usually pours.
Hello and welcome to another Carry On special. This week we'll be travelling back in time to get our big ones out while making sure we don't get our Hamptons caught. What better way to bring in a new year than getting together with friends and talking about how a 57-year-old man's having real problems coming? Yes, it's Carry On Henry, and joining me to chew the fat.
Oh, good. Oh, that's one of your best ever.
Yeah, I'm pleased with that. Is Dan Thomas and Paul Litchfield. Hello.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hello.
Well, I really enjoyed this.
So did I. Daniel.
You know what? Compared to the others we've done, it was much more palatable. It has a plot, which really helps.
It has a genuine plot, this one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a slightly complicated plot.
Yes.
It's slightly different. Yeah, I think with a different treatment of the material, it's a political thriller.
Well, with a different treatment of material, it would be The Matrix, but...
You
Carry On Henry. So.
Well, I will say, imagine if everyone played it with the same dead-eyed coldness as Patsy Rowland in the first scene.
Oh my God, it's a fucking different movie then.
No one fucking told her this was a comedy. Right, love, you're going to get your head chopped off now. And she looks genuinely like... you know all the toys at the end of Toy Story 3 waiting for death? Patsy Rowland is all of them.
She does look so chalky white.
Yeah.
Can I say that? Looks really wan and like miserable.
You just can't follow it up with a Jamaican accent. That's
right, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really like... That's a great performance from Patsy. Did anyone tell her this is a Carry On film? You're absolutely right.
Well, she would have had good grounds to do your... I should say, one of my favourite things about Carry On films is always the alternate title.
Yes.
And Talbot's only done one for this one. He usually does variations, but he's only done one.
But you know what? It's a good one.
It's fantastic. So we got Carry On Henry or Bide by Chopper.
Bide Chopper.
He also does a little paragraph gag. I'm not sure is his best work. I'll read it.
Well, load of old cobblers, come on.
It says, this film is based on a recently discovered manuscript by one William Cobbler, which reveals that Henry VIII did in fact have two more wives, although it was first thought that Cromwell originated the story. It is now known to definitely be all cobblers from beginning to end.
Yeah, I bet the first joke was like Dave Bollock or something.
Yeah.
The same joke.
Yeah, exactly. Also, there's a nice alternative one. They could have said only two wives gave head. Because they were beheaded.
They were, yeah.
I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, well.
I like the first joke out of Sid's mouth makes me laugh. When poor Patsy's being off to be beheaded, off to be beheaded, he says, after 6 months of married life, the only thing I'm having off is a red.
I have to say, all Carry On films, as we now know, allude gently and sometimes overtly to the act of coitus, either having a nibble or not getting it. Mm-hmm. But this film is non-stop talking about fucking.
Yeah. It's every single... I mean, I think we had it on one of the other ones as well. Anytime somebody said it, it was always a fuck. Yeah. This one is... this film has got about four jokes that are repeated 40 times each.
Yeah. Which is tits, fucking.
Like, things that look like tits. Things that are tits, but you try not to say tits.
Things that might smell like tits.
Also, we'll get to it. We've got two occasions in this where I think we're playing with the word that sounds a bit like cunt.
Oh, and my God.
Also, when Guy Fawkes at the end, he says, oh, Fawkes.
There's a fuck and a cunt. Mm. There's three cunts in this.
Yeah.
What do you mean? That's
Terry Scott.
I didn't notice. I met a cast member of this. I met because Dave Prowse is in this.
Yes, he is.
I didn't realise. I met him once, and what a grumpy man.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Hang on. What were the circumstances?
All right.
Did you shove your head through his car window again? You're Darth Vader!
I was at a convention.
Well, you know, because
you had your dick out.
And my dick was out. They said, sign this.
Sign that.
It's my lightsaber, but
sign the dark side of it, and then he went, "Oh, come on!"
Him and George Lucas didn't see eye to eye, did they? That's probably because Prowse has got a fucked one. I can say that now; he's dead.
That's true. Yeah, you wouldn't say it when he's alive because he beat you up.
He would beat me up.
Wouldn't he tell you, "Oh, I'm going to beat you up, you bugger"?
Imagine him though. Imagine the confidence of the man sitting down for the premiere of Star Wars, going, "I can't wait for the world to hear my voice."
And then at the end, I can't wait for the world to end.
Because he didn't know. I know we're talking about Star Wars, but apparently he didn't know until the premiere. He probably sat there thinking, everyone's going to be shit scared of me. And his wife's probably told him, did you have laryngitis that day or something?
Let me give you, I've got two facts about this film.
Oh, go on.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
They wanted originally to cast Harry Secombe as Henry.
What the fuck was this?
Because Sid was busy doing a show in South Africa, and he actually arrived on the second day of the shoot. They carried on with Sid.
Because it was, I assume, written for Sid, and then he wasn't available, and they said, right, who's the second biggest fuck machine in the country?
He's got 3 days off highway. Does he mind? Does he mind constantly saying he wants to have sex?
It's probably coming off of Oliver, and he still have the big chops.
Mm.
So they were like, we'd only have to do like a little quarter of a front beard.
That I can imagine Peter Rogers being that cheap.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No one wants to fuck him, but we haven't got to take him to hair and makeup. That'll save us 50 quid.
I think he'd have been quite good, but Sid's.
Secombe,
by far.
No. Oh, Secombe,
I forgot.
No.
There was. I read this that because he was sort of musical as well, he was going to be. They wrote some comedy madrigals or something.
They did.
For him
that's
to sing.
Right.
So he was going to be less of
a monkey.
No, it's all going to be like, hey, nonny, nonny, me, 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 that sort of stuff, wouldn't it?
That's exactly what it would have been.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, they did use those madrigals in a Carry On TV special.
Oh.
That's right, yeah.
Carry On fucking.
Carry On fucking with some madrigals. And the other fact I've got is a couple of, blah, blah, blah. At one point, Sid James, the costume he's wearing, is the exact same costume that Richard Burton was wearing.
Yeah.
During the filming of Anne of a Thousand Days.
Yeah, they used to do that, because that's probably all shot at the same studio.
Yeah, they just raid the... Yeah,
again, I have a feeling Peter Rogers saving money there. Wait till Richard Burton was passed out from whiskey and just stole his clothes off him.
Took it off him.
Put that on before he wakes up, cunt.
Sid James's trailer for this film was up Richard Burton's arsehole.
Oh, well, lovely.
Again, save some money.
Save some money.
I also like this gag here when poor pale Patsy Rollins has been taken off to be decapitated. And Terry Scott says, well, she was always a weekly woman. He goes, yeah, once weekly.
Lads Weekly, yeah, because of fucking.
Yeah, fucking. I got to say, I don't like Terry Scott very much, but I think he's great in this.
Do you know what? I was about, this is in my notes. I'm not a Scott fan, but he shines in this.
He's so good.
He does beautiful reactions all the time. Just constant to stuff.
And also, constantly crossing himself all the time.
Constantly crossing himself and looking up as if God's looking at him. And loads of references, which we'll come to, of things having to go up his arse.
Yes.
And being all, oh, no, I couldn't.
No one's even asked you to. What are you doing?
Yes.
No.
Even as a child, I was like, there's other places. You could wrap it round your thigh. You could wrap it round your cock. You haven't got to shove it sideways up your arsehole like your face is suggesting. You're thinking
exactly. You put it under your hat. I mean, I don't know what you were thinking. Yeah.
If you're riding a horse, put it up the horse's arsehole.
But we're talking...
Hang on, I should shut the window.
In case any horses are listening.
Yeah.
We do get this good exchange as well, because basically he's killing Patsy Rawlins because he wants to go and marry the French queen.
French queen. Yeah.
And we get this line where he says, I think he says to Kenneth Williams, "Her figure's all right. What about her face?" And he says, "I am assured, sir, she is the fairest in all of Normandy." "What about her?" does the hourglass figure. "The fullest in all of Normandy. Has she been chased all over Normandy?"
That is great. Solid joke that as a kid I never got that, because obviously it's the other kind of chase,
yes,
which is not a word I knew when I was seven.
Well, there's a lot of this in this, because there's a bit where Charlie Hawtrey says one, and then she goes, "Yeah, I always thought you were one."
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
a
homosexual poof.
Also,
which he clearly isn't,
because he's right up her 10 seconds later.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Even fucks on top of the bed.
He does, doesn't he? He has a rope ladder. Oh,
he's got a rope ladder.
Also, that joke that I read out, perfect observation of the rule of three there. So well done, Talbot. So he grabs Joan Sims, pulls her in front of a vicar and says, "I do, so does she."
Yeah, straight to nookie.
Yeah. And then they go in and then she takes a garlic bulb.
She does, which is what the French do, of course.
Let me ask you. This is what, 1971, 1972?
1971.
Was garlic 70. Not that well known in Britain at the time?
Because no, of course it wasn't. This is back in the time when you were going to like the chemist to get olive oil to clear out your ears.
I mean, I knew that.
Yeah.
But so
garlic is literally like ketamine at this
age. I was going to say, no one knows what it is. They treat garlic the way they treated modems in the
80s. Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. Also, garlic is just filthy foreign muck, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, the 70s. Okay.
They weren't
absolute
serving garlic at Wimpy.
Filthy, greasy foreign muck. There's a bit where Scott sees a wench and literally does so much stuff. Looks like his cock's about to fly off. Like go through a stained glass window or something.
Like a javelin.
Like a rocket.
I want David Cronenberg to make a Carry On film.
Oh my God.
The body horror. Terry Scott's penis becomes sentient and flies out a window.
Flies out a window, starts palpating tits in a stained glass window.
Yeah. Is it funny? It's as funny as the other Carry On films, says David Cronenberg.
I think he could be funny when he wanted to. Imagine Sid James leaning over to Joan Sims and putting his hand through her chest and pulling out a flesh gun.
And fucking it.
Yeah.
Oh, gold.
Yeah, this is when Charles Autry comes in to see her. He's Sir Roger Lodgerly.
Yeah.
Is that an extra joke that I don't understand? I know
think
Roger.
He might be Roger the Lodger.
Well, Roger.
Roger the Dodger. Yeah.
But also Roger, fucking.
Yeah. I know Roger. I was wondering if Lodgerly was slang that was long forgotten.
I don't know. But he comes in. Oh, hello.
Oh, ha.
And then he says, as you say, "I can be one when I want." She said, "Yes, I thought you were a one."
Homosexual.
Yeah, but before the marriage can be consummated, she eats the garlic. And she says it's a Normandy tradition to eat garlic before making love.
I bet it's not.
And he gives the requisite, "God blimey,
kill." Yeah, because her breath pongs.
She pongs.
Yeah.
And do you think Talbot Rothwell had a bad experience in France once on holiday?
I think he had a bad experience everywhere.
Yeah, he's had wrote about it. Yeah. Okay. He's like, I was onto a winner with this bird, and then you know what? She had something called garlic bread. Am I saying that right? Garlic bread. And I couldn't fuck her then. Well, I fucked her in the face, but not with my mouth. That's I believe, an anecdote from Talbot Rothwell's memoirs, A Chuckle a Day.
Oh, that's beautiful. Read by Judy Dench.
Oh, my God, I'd love that.
Read by Cuddles the Monkey.
Judy Dench going, in the end, I just fucked her in the mouth. Chapter 3.
My war. He says to the Marie, so Joan Sims, don't make any hairdressing appointments.
Yes, because of the head.
Because he's going to chop her head off.
He's going to chop her head off, isn't he?
So then we've already met him, but Thomas Cromwell, played by Kenneth Williams. Now, a different part for Ken.
Yes.
In that he's kind of not a figure of authority, because he usually is.
He's doing his best to serve, which is very unlike him. Yeah. He does have a slight sort of like mean streak, but actually he's very subservient, isn't he? Mm. And literally goes through what I would say is logistical hell during this film. Like admin hell. To the point where it drives him mad.
It does drive him mad.
And he actually wishes for his own suicide.
He literally became... This is a film about two men being led to suicide.
Mm. Yeah, who literally go, book us the next ticket to Dignitas, the next horse. This is ridiculous.
Cardinal Wolsey and Thomas Cromwell are having a celebratory drink because they've organised this marriage. Henry comes in immediately, says she has to go, she stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, God almighty. Apparently, even in 1971, people went, Sid is not a lovable rogue in this. He's a proper sexist, misogynist monster. Mm. So after this, I think he only did a handful of films after this, didn't he? Carry On ones.
Yeah.
And he was a much softer version of the Sid. But in this one, he kills a woman, threatens to kill a woman because she smells French, and then, as we'll find out in a moment, hunts a woman on horseback.
Literally hunts a woman for sport,
With dogs and other men, and then offers her tuppence in a barn.
And then puts it between her tits and wobbles her tits.
And her
tits go...
Hunt the girls, tuppence a barn. We get this good joke here when he says, get her an old, and Terry Scott says, an old what?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
It is really gag heavy, this film. It's really gag heavy. It's all one and issue and all that sort of stuff, but it's just constant. You're barraged by filth in this film.
It's like a Fanny Craddock programme. That's quite gag heavy because you're going, oh!
Ow!
So he goes hunting, as you say, hunting for wild tits.
Yeah, in their natural state.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry, we get the line about Wolsey asking if the wedding has been consumed.
Yes, right.
I love that.
Consummated.
Every time I hear the word nibble in any context, my entire life, I've thought of fucking Terry's face. Mm.
Nibble is mentioned a lot in Carry On films. Isn't there a tribe called Ava Nibble in one of the other Carry On films, I'm sure.
And no one outside a Carry On film has ever used it. Even back then, has ever gone, what did you do on the weekend? I had a nibble. What does that mean?
I fucked a woman in the face.
Is
that like a woman just... like nibbles on the end of your penis?
No, it's just slang for sex.
I had a nibble.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Having a bit of crumpet.
Yeah, crumpet.
Yeah.
Where that became lexicon. Certainly in the 70s.
I bet that was, well, no, I didn't guess, but somebody went, you know, the holes in crumpets are big. Hmm. Yeah. I'd like to have one of them.
I'd like to have sex with them holes.
I might as well have sex with them.
Lexicon Luther. That's all I've got.
Oh, that's pretty good, though. I like that.
Thanks.
That's all I've got.
I thought I'd be honest.
All right, hang on. Count Dictionary.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, that's all I've got.
I'd
Frankenstein's
like that.
Thesaurus. Sorry, that's all I've got.
I'd like Dracula to be a dictionary instead of a vampire. Yeah. Jonathan Harker turns up at the door and there's just a dictionary there.
It's a huge dictionary.
It's just a normal size one.
No, it's a huge dictionary. He has to open the pages to find the word door to get in. Then he has to look up the word staircase to go upstairs. It's a horrible film.
And then Theosaurus comes in and he goes mad. Because there's now 100 words for that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cromwell says the only solution is procrastination.
Brilliant.
And then Terry Scott's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
If he does that, he'll never have an issue. Oh,
So what does that? What is procrastination alluding to?
Are we
shitting yourself, breaking your cock?
Do you think
off?
He means
what's
masturbating?
No, oh, is that meant, what it is?
I thought he meant circumcision.
Oh, there you go. So we all came up with three different
not
things.
Not circumcision. There. What's the one where you have your tubes tied?
Oh, vasectomy.
No, that doesn't make sense then.
No.
Fucking hell, Talbot Rothwell.
If only he was alive now.
Because if
to
it was
ask.
Circumcision, they'll do the circumspect joke. No, he had that done when he was young. Yeah. That sort of thing.
So I think procrastination sounds like masturbation.
Oh, I thought it was like going to the toilet.
No, I thought it was.
You've been doing
like
it wrong, mate.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I do it on the toilet.
Well, all right.
Hang on, we should be with the master of all right, being from
exactly.
being from the valleys.
Can you do a Kinnick impression, Dan?
When he goes, all right.
Oh, that's the sound he made when he fell over on the beach, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Ah! No. Splash.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one.
Mm. So Henry has now gone hunting for wild tits.
Yeah, and he finds a lady, puts coins between her breasts, yes. wobbles them, and then jumps all over her. And then her father puts a pitchfork up his arse. Mm.
Oh, there's a joke here. Shit. There's a joke here I don't understand where she says she calls Henry, not knowing it's him, a miserable old sot.
Mm. Yeah.
And he goes, a miserable what? And she goes, sot. And it's like, oh, the joke being, I thought you said sod.
Yeah.
But sot and sod are both not good things to be called.
He should look at the camera and go, I thought she said cunt.
Exactly. As opposed to, I had a Google sot.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Just alcohol.
Oh, someone who loves a booze, which weirdly Sid was, so it's perfectly accurate.
Exactly.
He should have looked in the camera and went, I thought she meant someone who looks like a face that looks like a fucking aubergine that's been drop-kicked into a garage door. His nose in this is fucking huge.
Oh, it's amazing. His
hooter. Mm. It's beautiful. Looks like a conch.
Did you enjoy the stunt double they've got for Sid to jump into the
beautiful poo? Stunt double. It's really good to use. Really
exactly
good to
like
use. Judging it, Cranky.
Yeah.
Was there a much shorter gentleman as a stunt Sid?
It looked like a muscular ginger fella.
Really? Right. Yes. Yeah. A very lithe, muscular man.
Comes running out of the barn and leaps over the fence.
Brilliant.
Why Sid? It blows my mind what they need is stuntmen for. Mm. Right, Sid, you've got to jump on a woman in a hay. Oh, get someone else to do it.
That's a bit rich for my blood.
I think he'd not long had... Which, you know the Carry On film where Jim Dale goes down the stairs?
That's one of the hospital ones that we can never quite locate which one it is. Doctor
I think it
again,
was...
doctor, nurse, not now
no,
nurse.
No, I can never remember. Tomorrow, I think Sid had not long had a heart attack, because that's why in that film he spends it all in bed, because he was recovering from a heart attack.
Oh.
So when they said to him, we want you to jump over the fence, he was probably like, I'll fucking die if I do
and
that.
I'm not doing that. Yeah, fair enough.
I love that the Carry On films were like, oh, you've just had a heart attack? Fine, we will write around that rather than give you a rest.
Also, we'll give you an ashtray so you can carry on smoking.
Exactly, yeah.
All signed by the Carry On team. And we'll see him work in 3 weeks.
So then Queen Marie arrives for dinner with Sir Roger, because they've had sex.
They've had sexual intercourse.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's not homosexual.
She loves a bit of it.
Or
no.
He's bi-curious.
He's bi-curious.
We must assume, yeah. Mm. Yeah, which is fine.
He's buy one, get one free, curious.
Yeah.
But
the food looks lovely as well. Oh, when they start tucking into all that chicken, it looks lovely.
There's one problem though, Paul.
Oh, there's a massive problem.
Huge problem.
It's full of ketchup. It's full of garlic.
It's full of garlic, which, as you know, is repugnant.
It's absolutely... I don't know if you've ever had garlic in your food, gentlemen. It is repugnant.
Oh, I know. It's like someone's shitting it in there.
Yeah. Oh. So everyone's like, God, blimey! Spitting it out.
And that's when Terry Scott does his excellent mugging here, I've got, where he's kind of going,
yes. Yeah. I hope you're not looking, God. Because again, his cock's about to go.
What? From garlic in women make my cock fall off.
It's Carry On, anything. It's literally like you open a door. God, blimey, a door's been opened.
Look at the crack on that.
Anything. Look at that plate.
I've realised what it is, that the Carry On films, because everybody in Carry On did national service during the war, right? And in national service, they used to put bromide and tea to stop people.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, to stop people having sexual thoughts. They've come out of the war, 60s have happened, and they're probably like, well, fucking hell.
Well, so we think that during the war, they had 6 years not thinking about fucking, and it's all backlogged, and they're just like, right, if somebody says garlic, I'm going to come.
You know those Splash Mountain rides when they turn it off and there's about eight cars queuing to go down? It's like that.
Hang on, you say Patsy Rowland served in the war?
Yes. She was a Green Beret.
She doesn't look far off it in this, mate.
She punched Eva Braun right up the bracket.
She punched Eva Braun right up the what bracket?
Yeah.
She punched Hitler right up the hooter.
So King Henry returns, smells the garlic.
Go blimey.
And he says, oh, this peacock looks lovely. And then Kenneth Williams says, it's all cock and no pee.
Yeah. And that's what and then he says. That's how I like it. So he likes eating cock.
He likes eating cock with no piss. So he's not into water sports. Yeah, but he loves gargling cocks.
What does that mean? None of it means anything.
No, it's just an excuse to say pee and cock, isn't it? But don't look too hard into the actual logic because those he would be eating an animal's cocks every day.
So he's livid now. He wants her gone because she's spoiled his dinner.
He tips over the table.
Tips over the table. And he says to Wolsey and Cromwell, I want her gone. And they try and think of a way to not have... Because basically she's been sent from France. They don't want war with France.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, why don't you have a mistress? And then he reminds him of the family motto, which is non crepito sum janum. Which is never spit on your own doorstep.
Yeah.
Which he goes, I can't take a mistress. You literally just did in a barn half an hour earlier. Tuppence. And there's another bit in this scene where, oh yeah, the thing is, all of this can be avoided if he just says, I'll tell you what, can you stop eating garlic and brush your teeth? Because the thing is, she's already fucked Charles Autry. Also, early at the start of the scene, Kenneth Williams says, I must recommend the porter here, which is a kid. I also did not know that was a type of ale.
She's fucked him.
So she goes, I must recommend the porter. Oh, good. Send him to my room later because I'll be fucking Charles Autry and I might need a, he might need a tap out like it's wrestling at some point.
And also, we're 20 minutes away from finding out that she also fucked Ken Williams as Wolseley.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. So she,
she's a right little bloody raven.
I reckon Sid James, if he'd just give her a chance, he'd have the night of his bleeding life.
To be fair, though, in his defence, Charles Hawtrey was only able to manage this feat by also eating garlic, so it didn't seem as bad.
Yeah,
I know, but it's like, come on, just... Imagine what everyone smelt like in the Middle Ages. In fact, fuck it, imagine what everyone smelt like in 1971. It's just garlic's the least of your bleeding problems. Apparently, just fuck.
Apparently garlic makes the old...
Does it?
Apparently, but apparently it makes it taste different.
Does it? Does it
talking,
taste like
talking about turkey.
The last one in the shop.
Yes, exactly. The last one in the shop. Yeah, apparently it does. Apparently it's one of those things that if you consume it before lovemaking, it can influence your effluence.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to take your word for it. I'm not getting tricked again into a sort of Pepsi challenge situation.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't eat Mentos and drink Diet Coke. It fires out like a fucking Gatling gun.
It feels like some sort of Japanese game show going, not garlic? Correct. Garlic.
It's like that time I ate Alka-Seltzer and fucked a pigeon and nothing happened.
All right. If that doesn't make it into the Smursh Pod Twitter account,
quotes.
No context.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that time I fucked a pigeon and nothing happened.
Do you remember that Japanese game show a few years ago where the challenge was you had to sing while a woman watched you off?
Well,
yeah.
I applied to be on that.
Yeah, it never took off here.
They said I didn't have the wrist strength for it.
A masked wanker. I think it's Jason Donovan wagging him off, Simon.
If I'm not mistaken, that's Bob Carriagey.
And let's spit the dog.
And swallow the cat. I don't
know.
He should have swallowed the cat, shouldn't he?
Deary me.
Anal the mouse.
And every so often, docking the parakeet.
I love how my mind instantly went not to docking, but thinking, how's he going to do a parakeet as a puppet?
It sits on a false arm that he's
perfect. Yeah.
That's what, yeah, there you go.
Donkey. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Meanwhile, in the plot. Yeah.
Yes. They suggest the only way to get out of this is by staging a false abduction.
Yes.
By utilising the skills of Lord Hampton, Kenneth Connor.
Criminally underused in this film.
Criminally underused.
Mm.
He'd have made a much better Sir Roger Lodgerly.
Yes, absolutely. And also, he's pretty much a straight man in it. He doesn't really have any gags. He doesn't once do a
thing
where he lifts his leg up. He doesn't do that.
That's his speciality. And
that's his thing, isn't it?
Mind you, I think they... Wasn't Carry On... Oh, no, Carry On Abroad. Yeah, Carry On Abroad's after this, isn't it?
No, next is Convenience.
Ah, okay. And he's not in that at all, is
he? No. But anyway, so he's plotting... Because he genuinely wants to kill Henry.
With his friend Guy Fawkes, who apparently... Bill Maynard. And Guy Fawkes apparently was born 30 years after Henry VIII died.
Sorry, it's a little bit later they mentioned Napoleon Bonaparte, so it's fine.
They do, yeah.
To be fair, in Carry On Cleo, there's still dinosaurs. So...
so it's
they're
fine.
Not too far out this time.
That's true. And of course, Rimjob the dinosaur. Yes, yeah. So the historical inaccuracies. It's fine.
Yeah. So Kenneth Williams goes to see him.
Yeah.
And he says the guards are going to be stood down. You have to go in and abduct Henry.
So he can't consummate.
Exactly. We're trying to stop him from having sex with a smelly French bird.
Trying to have a nibble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, come on. Sid James wouldn't be put off by garlic.
I was going to say, Sid James just put a peg on his nose, wouldn't he?
Of course he would. Maybe they hadn't invented pegs yet.
I'm pretty sure Sid James lost his sense of smell decades earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a line in Hancock where he just says, that's not really a nose anymore. That's a straight-up head ventilator.
That's a forbidden clog.
So then we get the lovely joke, which is the first of two times we do this in this film, where you get people saying things as the camera pans around, thinking that they're having sex.
Yes.
But no, they're playing tiddlywinks.
But I do like all that. You gotta wink and then tiddle. Yeah. Or tiddle and then wink.
Yeah.
Because it all just sounds filthy.
It sounds horrible.
Which is lovely. It's very... But I really think this scene's very funny, because everybody's like, no, you can't do it until you do that. And she does it immediately.
Yeah, best of 40.
Hang on. Yeah, best of 40.
It's nice seeing Joan Sims doing a nice comedy part.
Yeah, and it's nice her being highly turbo sexually charged character instead of normally the miserable battle axe. Yeah. Because she's clearly up for it with anyone.
Absolutely. She has sex with Charles Autry, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, she will fuck everyone, but she won't go to the trouble of not eating garlic so she can get the last couple of people she hasn't fucked to fuck her.
Yeah, it's weird.
Still, I bet Charles Autry's spunk tastes nice.
Well, it's probably less than that. Honestly, the thing is, the way Sid James is acting, it is just garlic.
Yeah.
I bet if she'd eaten out fucking Autry's arsehole, he'd be fine. I'll go with it. It's fine.
It's peri-peri.
As long as it's not garlic, at least it's only Charles Autry's arsehole I can taste. That's fine. No, I can't do a great Sid James.
It would be Russian sailors.
Is that the HMS Royal? I just tasted all their arseholes. Is that you, love?
You could never mistake the flavour of the HMS Royal.
The Ark Royal, that's what I meant. That's the shit the direction that the spunk took across the room.
Arcing Jet of Royal.
Yeah.
So, Hampton arrives to abduct the king, but they have mistaken the fact that old Queen Marie can handle herself.
Yeah, she's like, if I can't have it, then I'm going to kill you all.
She beats them all off.
Yeah.
Also, I love Kenneth Connor's forgotten the plan, because he's just like, I can't, because Sid James is like, you can't take me, I'm about to make love to my wife, and he goes, I'll come back in 10 minutes then. No, you fucking moron, this is the plan.
I mean, I was expecting him to say, can I watch, so I was quite pleased that
we'll do that and I'll watch then. Well, there's no point in me being kidnapped then.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I stand in a corner and wank into my glove?
How about we all piss on Guy Fawkes? What?
Yeah.
I wonder he was livid.
So a plan goes awry, she beats them all to shit.
When she comes back, Sid's gone.
Yeah, he's literally scattered.
Literally gone. And then a rope ladder comes down from above the bed, meaning that he's been up there watching them play tiddlywinks all evening.
Well, expecting them to have sex as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so he probably put a little O through the top and you just see his little winky popping through. Mm. Like a sort of like dragonfly.
It's probably not. I bet there's a hole for him just to look through, but he's just sitting. Because that's quite thick, the top of the
velour.
The lure. He's just sitting in a puddle of days of his own jizz.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's like when you cook sausages in the oven and they're in that fat.
Yeah. As soon as he's done, days later it's just solidified. And it looks like the middle of a
disgusting podcast we've ever done.
Is it though?
I think it
looks like the middle of. I don't know, mind.
I like the idea that he's already done the hoe, but he's sat just waiting, and all they can see is his arse. Charlie Horty's pale grey arse. Like a limpet on a forgotten beach.
Like one of those naked rat moles. Looking down at you.
Like a newborn chick without the beak. Oh, God.
Anyway,
you're listening to Hawtrey Talk. Late night and very hush hush.
Then we get John Bluthal doing his character from, as Dan pointed out, from the sitcom Never Mind the Quality, Feel the Width.
Yes.
He's playing a Jewish tailor.
Yeah.
And he says, he gets his catchphrase in. He says, "Never mind the quality, feel the cloth."
Yeah, there you go.
And then we get Conte di Pisa.
Brilliant. It's just an excuse to almost say, and there's a bit where Scott pretty much says it. Cunt.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He arrives from Rome and he wants, this is a good joke.
Yeah.
I bet this joke is very old. But he arrives from Rome and says, "Look, we've got no objections to divorce, but we want 5,000 pieces of gold to annul the marriage." So then Wolsey goes to Cromwell.
And he goes, "That's twice as last time, isn't it?"
Yeah, he says, "Well, they want 10,000.
It doubles every time.
And then you get Kenneth Williams giving him a big speech about, "Is there no one left with the moral fibre like me?"
Yeah.
Then he goes to Henry and says, "They want 20.
I thought he said 50.
Does he say 50?
Doesn't it go? Oh, I'm sure it goes to 50 at one point. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's what he's going to get if he stays married.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
So then they come up with an idea to raise funds, which is to have the sex enjoyment tax.
Kenneth Williams' delivery of that. Mm. He's just, there's no way to capture his wide-eyed glee at sex enjoyment tax.
Chewing the scenery when he's saying it, isn't he?
He's so fucking good in this.
Yeah, he really is. Also, it's a genuinely good idea when he comes up with the reason for it, which is because they go, "Well, that would never work." And he goes, "Well, it would, because men are so, like, fucking show-offy that they're going to obviously say, yeah, I fucked 10 women this week, so we'll make loads of money." Mm. And the more I thought about that, I was like, that's a genuinely brilliant idea.
I mean,
how much men aren't telling each other what they're paying in tax?
Well, Maynard wouldn't do it well. He'd blow his cock up. Wouldn't he?
I tell you what, don't give the Tories that idea. Huh? Bloody Tories. Or actually, when you're listening to this, don't give the Labour Party that idea. Huh?
Well, they actually do a joke about that. They'll never come back, Labour. Yeah,
they'll never get back in.
Yeah.
So then the King catches Marie and Cromwell at it.
Yes.
And he says, "Oh, she felt faint," even though when he walks to the room, he's lying on top of her going,
"I've just come down my leg."
Yeah.
And then we get another line. I had to write this down. The King says, "Why should she feel faint?" And then Ken goes, "Lack of fresh air." And he goes, "True, she hasn't been getting a lot lately." And he goes, "Yes, and that."
And that.
Very nice.
Sexual intercourse.
So they have to fetch a doctor, and then we get another example of doing a joke that would have worked in 1971.
Yes.
Which was saying, Dr. Finlay.
But it doesn't make sense in the world of the thing. Like, there's no reason to go, "Come quickly, we've got an emergency."
Yeah, because Dr. Finlay was it a radio show or a TV show?
TV show.
That ended around now, so I'm not even sure it was that current a reference then.
No. But it turns out Queen Marie is pregnant.
She is.
Oh, dear. And the worst thing is, Henry's very happy at first.
Yes.
It's probably going to be a son. I'm going to be a father.
And they go, well, well done, sir. Oh, I didn't do anything. Yeah. And then he goes, hang on, I didn't do anything.
Hang on, I didn't bloody do anything.
Someone else has come up my mouth.
I have not had sexual intercourse at all in this film. And I don't for the entirety.
I'd love it if he really banged his fists on the table and said, someone else has come up my wife.
Someone else has fucked this whore.
Oh, Sid. Sorry, we need to take this again.
Yeah.
It's because he's wearing Burton's costume.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Mm. I know you're taking acting lessons off Patsy Rowland, but fucking remember we're doing a comedy, yeah?
So
the entire orchestra is just a tin whistle.
As we know, Patsy the beginning went very Lars von Trier.
Mm. Yeah, she went... She went method. She chopped her own fucking head off.
That little fox from... What was that film with William Dafoe? The little fox came up and said, I am chaos.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
Anti-birth or something? Afterbirth?
Yes. Afterbirth.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Antichrist, sorry.
Antichrist, that's it.
That's it. Antifreeze.
Yeah. That's it. Anti-Mabel.
Nora.
Aunt Bessie's, yeah.
Yeah, she makes those puddings. So he's put Marie in the Tower of London.
Yeah.
And I like this bit when Woolsey puts her in. He goes, still, it's a nice view. And he opens the curtain. There's a curtain in the Tower of London room. There's just three blokes being hanged.
It's such a fucking grim movie. This.
And what I liked about it, I'm going to say it now just because it made me laugh so much. When he has to bring her back to the tower later, he says, oh, at least we got your old room back.
He's really good in this.
He's so
Scott.
Fucking good.
I know, he's brilliant in this.
So then they have to...
Wait, there's a bit here when she goes, what do you call this place? And he goes, the bloody tower. Mm. She goes, don't be common. Mm. The things that you've heard has been cock, pee, cunt.
Yeah, I know.
All the way through. Mm. It's a bloody tower. What's your mouth, later, dirty fuck?
There's a little bit later she says, dirty basket. And they're like, oh. And a bit later she calls him a bastard.
Yes.
So she gets offended by basket, but bastard's fine.
Yeah. So then Cromwell is asked to obtain a confession from Roger Lodgley about him being the father. So then Marie says to Wolsey, well, you've always been very kind to me. How about you write to the French ambassador?
Yes. I do find this joke brilliant. Just the idea of the different size parchments. It's such a good joke.
Go on, what was that?
Well, she gives him three letters during the film that he has to smuggle, and he alludes to the fact that the only place he can conceivably put them is up his arsehole. And each time he just looks at it, it just goes, oh.
Thing is, there's no implication. Nothing is said that suggests it will go up his arsehole. He just says, I suppose there's one place I could put it. But for some reason,
up his arsehole.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure if that... They take the bet that in 1971, the good people of Britain, their first thought would be like, the only place I put anything is up my arsehole. And that because there's nowhere else to put it. But it's like, I'm not sure everyone these days would go, oh, he's probably going to put it up his arsehole.
I think in these days, with the world of the internet and the things we have done seen, he could have put it up his cockhole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you lived in a world of post-Goetze, anything's possible.
Cardinal, would you please dock this document? That's why it's called document, because you put it up your... dick like a duck.
Put it up your yument.
Yeah.
Urethra.
Ignore the parakeet! Of course, this is an ideal opportunity, what with things being put up arses, for a certain gentleman to maybe take us through that scene with a certain impression.
Who?
Oh, yeah, good. This is, okay, I'll tell you.
Is there any excuses to give?
I was given a parchment. By John Sims, who I knew in Vietnam. She asked me to take this to her brother, the king. So I put it the only place I could think to put it up. I put it up my dick, and it hurt a lot. So I pulled it out, moved the parrot, and then... and then I put it back on and put the whole thing up my ass.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse with a parchment, which is a full wooden... It's wrapped around wood.
Yeah.
Basically, it was like...
And it's got a wax stamp.
It's got a wax stamp, and that's... Which melted in my ass. So it lost all cohesion as a document.
Cohesion.
Anyway, and then I took it to the King of France and I said, have this. And I handed him a basically a dirty, shit-riddled note. Oh. And he said, oh, cheers.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, the French ambassador turns up.
Yes.
He tells Henry that Francis I is so thrilled about the marriage, he's going to give him 50,000 gold pieces.
50,000?
So Henry's like, so we're going to have to... he's worried that if they discover that she's in the tower, then they'll declare war.
Oh.
So we have to retract the confession and get her out of the tower. So that's what they do. So then there's this now running joke that goes on for the rest of the film now where they're torturing Charlie Hawtrey, then untorturing him.
So he basically is he's Charlie Hawtrey height, then he's 9 foot, then he's 15 foot.
Yes. How do you think they got him on stilts for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if he might have been on someone's shoulders, but there was no knees protruding.
The idea of Charlie Hawtrey on stilts is insane. It's terrifying. I mean, the man was such an oaky at that point.
It's like fucking pumpkin head. With little glasses on. I loved one of the trivia points in this on the IMDb for the goofs section is that Charles Hawtrey is wearing NHS glasses, which weren't invented until 1948.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This film is shit.
Yeah,
that did make me furious. Yeah.
Jordan, you can't have Charles Hawtrey with no glasses on. He looks disturbing.
That's like saying cameras weren't invented then, so why was this film
exactly,
made?
Exactly, right.
Tiddlywinks was not invented until later.
Exactly, yes.
What the fuck?
Barbara Windsor wasn't born until. So then they everybody's out, everything is happy, and they're having like a little party.
Yes.
And then Bettina, the daughter of Charles, the Earl of Bristol, Charlie's.
Oh my God, and criminally underused Butterworth.
Yes.
He has two lines.
Two lines,
and he doesn't do any like. Or anything. Oh dear, what a shame.
Who was cut out of this? Wasn't there. Because it was quite... somewhere in the world, there was a 2.5 hour fucking cut of this.
No.
Because David Essex was fucking in it as a character that's completely cut out.
Oh, my God.
What? David Essex?
David Essex. That was in the IMDb trivia. So if he's gone completely, you can imagine Peter Butterworth had a much bigger part.
That's like you just saying that Hilary Swank was cut out of it because she was like three.
I will say this was a pre-fame David Essex.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, I think, because he was cut out of this, that's why he was later allowed to be famous.
Right.
But did you enjoy the fact that Peter Butterworth's playing the Earl of Bristol and he's Barbara Windsor's father?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And he's called Charles, and then when Sid sees him, he says, because he's got two daughters, and he says a pair of Charlies.
Pair of Charlies, yeah. Not a pair of Bristols, which weirdly is there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then it, yeah. But I suppose it's four tits, so there's quite.
Imagine if Babs in this had four tits.
All right, let's imagine that.
Let's imagine that for a
hang
minute.
Hang on, imagine that.
Tell you what.
Oh.
Tell you what.
Was
lot
that
of
car in the distance or someone's erection?
No, it was Paul. There's a lot of naked Babs in this, more than any other we've seen.
You get bum. You get full-on bum shot
and
in this.
Some side boobage.
Side boobage. Yeah. Which Henry looks at going, blimey.
I mean, it's no wonder that British cinema, from this decade on, from this point onwards in the decade, just turned into softcore pornography.
Yeah.
You could walk through the West End of London in the late 70s and all the cinemas were showing pornography.
If you were lucky.
It's fucking insane. And every British film was, God blimey, look at the size of those tits.
Yeah. Oh dear, I seem to have fallen in your vagina. It's all films like that, isn't it? Oh, good Lord, I'm growing. I seem to be in charge of a tit farm.
Triple X. Starring Bill Maynard.
It's those sort of, it's those sort of films, isn't it? Oh no. I'm the king of erections.
We've inherited a tit farm.
Yeah. We've inherited a tit farm.
It's like we bought a zoo.
Yeah, it's like we bought a zoo. Like, we thought they were birds when we bought the place. And what we have found is that it's a bit like The Prisoner. You know, all those bouncing balls, but tits.
It's a film where Ronnie Corbett finds out, like, he goes to, like, the reading of the will, and to Plimsoll, I leave my tit farm.
Sorry,
and
did you say his name was Plimsoll?
Yeah, Plimsoll.
That's amazing. Thank you.
I leave this tit farm, and long may it continue, even though the guy's dead. So I don't know.
Well, I imagine the guy reading the will, based on the voice you're doing there, is the guy, the old man from Are You Being Served, with the little guy.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Perfect, yeah.
And like Mary Millington plays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Beryl Reed runs a dick farm next door, and there's hilarity ensues.
Yeah,
I've got to get up at six every morning to milk all of these.
Dandy Nichols on the fence going, oh, I don't know what he's inherited, but there's a lot of tits.
Oh, tell you about when I was younger, it was tits as far as the eye can see. Now you look at the back window, you can see his dicks.
Etc.
Now Alfie Bass is a burglar who's constantly trying to break in, but sees tits and falls off his ladder.
Yeah. He has to steal someone for a ride when he comes back. Here's your bag of dicks. And it's a bag of tits.
Thing is, we mock, but if this film was made in 1975, it would have made the modern day equivalent of £750 million. And that's just in Surrey.
In Surrey alone. In Godalming, it broke all box office records. As for Little Hampton,
we haven't seen Oppenheimer, but I've watched Tits Milking, the movie.
We inherited a tit farm.
Yeah.
And I've got it on Blu-ray.
It's part of the Criterion Collection.
Well, I've got the vanilla edition, which is the only one to watch.
I went to see two films. I want to see Tit Farm and Barbie on the same day. We call it Tarby. We've all got t-shirts with Jim Tarbuck on. And so that they know we're enjoying the film.
We all wore foam tits to the premiere with Tarby's face on them. And proud of it! Anyway, back to the plot.
Yeah, back to the plot. So, he's dancing with Barbara Windsor. He shuns Joni and goes and dances with Barbara. And then he says to her, what's your name? She says, Bettina, but everyone calls me Bet.
Yeah.
And I was thinking he was going to go, well, you're a good Bet or something. Something better than that.
He does say something like that, doesn't he?
Well, he says that you'd call me Madge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's
Madge. This bit I've written, I laughed here. That's the only place I've laughed.
Oh. You didn't write down what it was.
And I did. It was the bit where she's talking about having been in Spain and she's describing castanets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he just goes, yes.
Jumping around and they kept banging together.
Oh. Yes, I've noticed him.
Yes, I noticed that and I've come.
I wouldn't budge, is it all? I mean, so he dances, then he takes her out to the garden where he's feeding her drink, but it sounds like they're fucking.
It is really, it's like, go on, just add one more
just
of it.
Just another little bit.
Yeah, go on. I can't handle all of that. And he's like, just a little bit more. And you think, he's slipping her a length.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
He's not. Anyway. He's giving her some drink.
They are really good together, these two.
They genuinely
It's almost like they were having sex chemistry. Off a screen.
At the end, that's because they were fucking.
I just love the gag where she goes, who would have thought it me in the King's Arms? And he just goes, it's the best boozer in town.
Yes, that's a great joke.
He also says, drink is a good ardour. The more you drink, the harder you get.
And then he just goes, literally, like, very playfully, can I see your tits? Mm. And she goes, no, you fucking can't, you dirty old prod. And she goes, well, look, if you close your eyes, I'll let you feel them. And then there comes a stage where all known reality, if you start picking at that.
yeah.
Because she puts two marrows in his hands and he just goes, I'll bet. I'll bet. So he now thinks I have her breast in my hands. And then he moves his hands and in his head thinks that he has ripped her tits off. Genuinely thinks he has removed them, like they're light bulbs and he's unscrewed them or something. I don't know what it is. And he goes, oh God, what have I done? Like he thinks he's ripped her breasts off. Yeah. That's and off insane. Camera,
David Cronenberg goes, okay, cut, print, wrap.
I like it that he's actually thinking about the programme You Bet with Bruce Forsyth.
Right.
Is it? He goes, right, I'm going to, what is it? Tits or marrows with Bruce Forsyth?
Marrows, tits or marrows.
Tits and marrows and tits.
Right, okay, we've got...
Higher than a tit, ours and marrows.
Who thinks that this man will be able to identify three marrows or tits?
Higher than a parsnip, ours and nipple.
Three marrows would be from Total Recall, surely.
We've got half a Scargill. Let's ask you first.
Well, all right.
That's Kinnock.
I'm sorry.
Well, all right. There you go.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's not bad.
Cut yeah, print. That'll do. So, yeah, he thinks he's removed her breast somehow.
Yes, he does. It's a proper nightmare. It's nightmare fuel. Pair of marrows.
Yeah, it's a pair of marrows. And then she sort of runs away and he sort of goes to grab her but falls into the dirt.
But you've forgotten the most important bit.
Oh, have I?
Yeah, he talks her into kissing him. And when she does, they kiss so much, his sock suspenders go...
Boing! Fly off. Yeah, they fly off. And he goes, that was a little kiss. Let's have a big one. Yeah.
I think he's just, his socks are like in The Great Escape, they're just full of cum. And he has to sort of shove them out into the yard. And loads of baby plants grow.
Is it possible it's just that his socks have got a better agent than any of the actors in it going, we're getting the fuck out of this production?
Yeah,
it's probably deep vein thrombosis just being filmed.
Deep throat thrombosis. So then he falls for a bet. And then he goes off for 2 weeks and he comes back to Marie and she says, where you been? And he says, I've been off in Bristol laying a foundation.
Right.
But later on we find out that he hasn't seen her naked and they haven't had sex.
Yeah.
What have I been doing for 2 weeks?
I presume he's just been fucking loose masonry.
Yeah. He's been in the aquarium in Bristol, that's all he's done.
Now loose masonry sounds like a porn name.
It does actually.
Yeah. Brock Cheswell.
loose masonry. It's amazing.
He's a guy with a really fucking wide arsehole.
I assumed it was a woman.
Oh, a woman with a
Lucy Masonry. They call me Loose for short.
Sounds like a really shit sort of like tribute act to like Hot Gossip.
Yes,
Loose Masonry.
Choreographed by Flake Colby.
Yes, it's weird, isn't it? Like you lose some sex, but he hasn't even seen her naked.
Not seen her naked. Not done.
He's not had sex yet. Let's not forget. Sid has not had sex yet.
We are.
Charlie Hawtrey's had sex.
I mean, seriously, you get to the point where you're like, I haven't had sex. Charles Autry's had sex with my wife.
Charles, like, oh, I'm homosexual. I've had loads of sex. Wow.
And that's just, that's not a good place to be when Charles Autry's getting laid more than you.
Getting more.
With a woman.
Yeah.
So, Marie's making him a tapestry and it says, Henry is a
Yeah.
And he goes, a shining example.
It's a good gag.
And he says, I've got a surprise for you. Don't say I never get anything for you. I've got you a new lady in waiting. It's only bloody bet.
That's rubbing her nose, isn't it? She already knows that he fancies her.
And she says, it's a great honour the king has done me.
No, you forgot the full stop. Oh, gold.
Yeah, such passion for this wench. It rocks his socks, he says.
Yeah.
But he can't marry her or he'll lose his 50,000 crowns. You're the king.
Yeah, but he does say that his coffers are empty at one point.
Yeah,
What about the SET?
Oh,
never heard about that again.
Well, but that doesn't go until the next tax year.
That's true.
Presumably.
Yeah. No one fucks in England until next
April. I guess at some point you're going to have a mass rebate.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very good.
That's a good joke, that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good joke, that. Everyone at home, you can note that down in your copybook. So his friend Sir Thomas tells him there are ways of seeing her in the nude.
Mm.
And the first plan is that we're going to dump water on her, but obviously it goes wrong and it dumps on Sid.
Yes.
Second plan is to spy on her having a... He's the king, he just walk in and look at her bath. Okay.
Yeah, he's the fucking king. He can just say, I'm going to sit here and watch you having a fucking bath. And if you don't, I'll kill you.
Yeah. I mean, anyone heard the expression, it's good to be king?
Exactly.
But no, his plan is to have a horse pull him up on a pulley to look in her window. But of course, the horse goes too fast.
Yeah, so he goes up in semi-fast forward.
Yeah.
And comes down in semi-fast forward.
And to certain death.
Yeah, he would have broken his legs, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it would be like the fucking end of Tommy Cooper's last act.
Yeah.
He gets soaked in water again from her bath because she takes the massive plug out.
Yeah.
And then Sir Roger has finally retracted his statement. He's 9 foot tall with a cock and balls the size of Norfolk.
They've restricted his cock and balls as well, haven't they?
Yeah, of course they would have done. That's a good visual joke, though, isn't it? When he comes in and he's really tall.
Yeah, he's now 15 foot.
I like that. They then trick Bette into getting undressed in front of them. And this is where we get for like full... Not, what's the opposite of full frontal? Full backle?
Yeah, full sidle.
Ass stuff, yeah.
Full ass stuff of dearly departed Babs.
Yeah.
Because they say to her, you're going to have to wear this sachet dress thing.
And Terry right Scott now. Does, Terry Scott does the best...
Terry Scott forgets that he's a vicar. He's the cardinal and just starts going. So what they've done is she's gone behind the screen, and then when she's not looking, they've lowered the curtain so they can see her in the mirror.
Yeah.
And we get a long old shot of her bum.
It's a long old shot, this one.
Yeah.
So then we get Marie's in the tower. And that's when we get Woolsey saying to her, I managed to get your old room back for
get
you.
Get your own room back.
Which is fine. Yeah. So then, so Roger...
And also she goes, I've got another note for you. And it's a really short, fat note.
He's oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
that's, I like that joke.
Please, no.
And then we get visual joke I really enjoyed. So Roger's going to be put in the Iron Maiden and it's got a vacant sign like a toilet.
Yeah, and then it's engaged when he's in it.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
David Prowse, one of the torturers, you mentioned that earlier... Sir Roger signs and leaks water.
Yes, because of the spikes on the iron.
Spikes on the iron.
Oh, they let him out. He complains and says, "I'm so glad you let me out. There's been such a horrible draft in there."
Horrible draft. Yeah.
Good joke.
He's like a fucking Terminator, isn't he, old Roger?
He is. You can't kill him.
Can't kill him.
Apart from if there's a fire in his house.
Right. Apart from if you're a hoarder with no money, who likes to get spat on in the local pub. And sleep with Russian sailors on shore leave in Deal. You cannot be killed.
This is like fucking hell. This is like Ken Loach's remake of, what's that Bruce Willis film? Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Charles Hawtrey is Bruce Willis in Unbreakable. What happens? He just gets spat on by sailors.
It's quite That's
a different film, then, isn't it?
God, Charles Hawtrey would have been the ultimate Harry Potter Horcrux. They'd never fucking find that one.
I'd imagine the end of Charles Hawtrey was like the end of Terminator 2, but instead of lava, it was cum.
And he hasn't got his thumb up. Well, not in the air.
Not in the air.
No.
So, we love you, Charles. Henry, hearing that everything is going to be good, sends old Babs to the bedchamber.
Yeah.
And then he gets in there and she's reading Ball's Book of Law.
Brilliant.
She says here that because we didn't get married properly, we're not properly married. He said, that's all a load of balls.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a reprise of the cobbler's joke.
Yeah.
What is he? What is it? He goes, "Oh, that's just Paul's opinion or something."
Yeah. Okay. Can I fuck your tits?
And she's like, "Well, my next book's Immanuel Kant," and he just goes, "Disgusting!" Oh, there goes.
And then he does the Aussie song from Monty Python.
Yeah, does that.
So the handsome King of France, Peter Gilmore, who
semi regular,
but many people will know best as the voice of the old Reeves and Mortimer.
Yes.
Was he now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Reeves and Mortimer.
These people do. It's Reeves and Mortimer.
Hey, you. What are you doing?
Yeah. Hey,
ooh,
you.
Me?
Yeah. Yes, you.
He arrives on a surprise visit to see on Marie because he's heard she is in the Club of the Pudding.
She has one in the oven.
Love it. Henry realises the only way to avoid war with France is to, you know, play along.
Yeah.
So then, meanwhile, we cut to the Tower of London, where Guy Fawkes is going to blow it up.
Yes.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know. What the fuck is
this?
Up.
Did you notice, and I only saw this from the trivia, that the hole he blows on the door of the Tower of London is shaped to be the same as Australia?
Yeah.
Why? I saw the trivia.
Why?
I did not. What? What does that mean?
Don't know.
Is it a joke, or was they just like, we found a bit of wall that is has Australia cut out of it from a different film?
I have no idea.
Or was it a joke? Or was it a coincidence? There's no way to know.
No one will ever know. They all took it to their grave. But that's when it doesn't go off, that's when Kenneth Connor goes, oh, Fawkes. But he says exactly like he's saying, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says, oh, you and your bloody gunpowder. And then he explodes, and we just get his shoes falling to the ground.
Get his shoes, yeah, comedy shoes.
So King Francis runs up to the room to see Maria in bed.
Dear.
Tiny bloody Babs Windsor in the bed.
Yeah.
And he says, I hear you are un petit raver.
Little raver, yeah. And he also quite fancies her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he finds out, because Sid's trying to tell her not to mention that Marie's in the tower.
And he keeps gesturing up. She goes, oh, she's apt to spout. Mm. And I don't know why that really made me laugh as a line delivery.
That's funny. And then she goes, oh, no, she's upstairs. And then Sid gives a face like, oh, good.
Well done, love.
In the tower.
He's fucking hell.
And then he says, that's it. It's war.
It's war. It is war.
Mm. And then Henry says, by the way, before you do all that, there was a kid. She's been kidnapped. Well, they tried to kidnap her. So I put her in the tower to keep her safe. And I put Babs in the bed as a decoy.
Yeah.
And then Kenneth Connor comes in with Maria. First Kenneth Williams comes in.
Kenneth Williams.
Or is it Wolsey? No, Wolsey comes in first, doesn't he? And says that the Queen's been kidnapped.
Mm.
And then he says, ah, well, you're going to the tower then.
Yeah. This is a tower.
And then Queen Maria arrives unharmed with Lord Hampton.
Yes.
So he declares Lord Hampton, Prince of Berks. And gives him 10,000 crowns. Then Kenneth Connor says, well, Marie says, aren't you going to say what you were going to say about him being a horrible king? And he says, no, as my family motto says, non fartum contra tornetrum, which apparently means fight not against thunder.
There you go.
So everything's good and overheating rosy in the garden. And then finally, Cromwell arrives with another confession from Roger de Lodgers. And Henry's like, what's this? It's you that were conspiring against us to have my wife abducted. Rips it up, which he's done a couple of times before, and says, you're going to the tower now.
And he really wasn't.
No.
So an innocent man is going to the tower.
Well, Paul, it's not the first time that's happened, isn't it? With big governments and royal families.
Mm. Yes.
You remember the humble tale of Diana, Princess of Our Hearts?
Yes. Died in a log flume.
That's right.
Didn't she? In Chessington.
Chessington.
Dreadful.
In the bubble works.
Yeah.
Mm. So Francis asks Henry, he says, you know what, that Bettina, do you mind if I have a bit of her?
No, I wouldn't mind a nibble with her.
Yeah. And he says,
Henry said, oh, no, you don't want her. No, she's all, he should have said she's all stuffed for the clinker.
Yeah.
Those weird 70s references.
Mm.
Oh, I'd love you to have her, but technically that's human trafficking, and that doesn't seem all right, even in 1971. Fuck you. Fair enough, then. We'll do that, then.
Only if I can watch.
Only if I can be asleep on the end of the bed. Like a horrible old walnut cat.
God, like a dog that you know you have to put down. And you can't face it.
Like a cold bowl of porridge on a tray.
You wake up every morning and look at that dog and just go, I can't. It's cruel to keep this thing alive.
So this is Sid James lying at the end of the bed watching a Frenchman fuck his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Completely naked, just going...
If only I like garlic, I'd be fine.
If only I admired the French penchant for garlic, everything would have been all right.
But Bettina is very happy with this proposal.
Yeah.
And she's going to go off to be Queen of France.
There's a bit here where Sir James goes out to say goodbye to her, and he looks, he's proper acting, he looks fucking crestfallen. Mm. The only time we've seen him act like this and then carry on from him is when at Carry On at Your Convenience, where he sends Joan back into back to her husband.
Yeah.
I wonder if in real life, before they did the shot, literally she's told him in his trailer, "Look, Sid, that's enough between us."
Yeah.
So he's doing real acting.
Oh, well, Ronnie Knight was on set watching. So she's gone off to be the Queen of France. Meanwhile, Marie says that she loves him, and then we hear that she's gone into labour, and that's when he says, yeah, "Don't worry, they'll never get back in.
They'll never get back in." Oh dear.
But no, and I thought there was going to be a visual joke here, and I was
same. I thought it was good. I always in my head thought they were going to look at the baby. Yep. And it would be Charlie Hawtrey with a little pair of glasses.
Hawtrey is dressed as a baby,
but it's
no.
not. It's not.
It feels like that was the intention because he looks and gives a reaction. Yeah. You never see the baby.
Yeah. It's weird.
So then he promises that he'll be a faithful husband and father, even though it's not his baby.
It'd be really weird if he looks and it's just like the like a video cassette of Tron.
Oh, imagine.
That'd be mad, wouldn't it? Just not explained.
Not even bloody out yet.
Not even out, but just somehow.
IMDb trivia there. The film Tron was not made until 1982. John Simmons could not give birth to a video cassette of Tron.
Although I think many women out there, and I think you're listening to this, ladies, and I think you'll say, right, sisters, you'd rather give birth to a video of Tron than a baby, wouldn't you?
That looks like Charles Autry, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, the Tron's flat and it's a consistent shape.
Fucking hell, this is, I can't wait for you to do a TED talk. We did a fairly gruesome test on some women.
Hmm.
We made one give birth to a baby and the other one had to give birth to a sideways copy of Tron. Betamax.
I mean, again, right? This is David Crowe. Betamax would be fine. Wouldn't that be a premature VHS?
We made this lady give... we made her slit out a laser disc.
That's awful.
It'd be much easier if the film was on a dongle.
Oh, yeah, no, it would be easy for everybody.
And that, yeah, and that's... And in conclusion, that's why streaming is better for women.
Yeah. Right, sisters? So then he walks out full of love and admiration for his new wife and then immediately sees Catherine Howard as a handmaiden and is like, God blimey.
Anything else then?
So he rushes out. Cromwell and Wolsey are about to have their heads cut off.
Yeah.
And he rushes out and they say, are you going to pardon us? He says, yes, I am. Full pardons. And they say, oh, great. And he goes, I want you to sort out another divorce for me. And they both say,
carry on, executioner.
Yay!
And they have their heads chopped off willingly.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, while Sid James watches.
Yeah.
And then begins to rub himself in the groin. No, he doesn't. He just goes a kind of, oh!
But that wouldn't make it any worse.
No, it's true.
This is a lovely family comedy where the last thing we see is the horrific deaths of our two leads. Yeah. Of two of our leads.
But we don't find out what happens to Charles Autry.
Happens to just scot-free, isn't he? Well, I suppose he's just now like 28 foot tall. Just
28 foot tall.
Striding across England's green and pleasant lands.
Unable to be killed.
It's like some really thin, warbling giant.
Mm.
Just.
I imagine, though, based on the old folklore, he laid down to sleep and turned into a rolling hill.
Oh, turned into a pub.
Yeah, and they set him on fire.
Yeah.
The fireman carried him out and his wig fell off.
He's like, oh, the shame.
Have you ever seen the picture of Charles Autry being carried? I'm talking to the people listening. If you've ever seen it, it looks like someone rescuing a little lizard.
He looks like a really thin Eric Morecambe.
Yes, he does.
When his wig's not on, and his little glasses, and he's being held, isn't he, in his little wee willy winky outfit.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Poor old Johnny.
Trying to jump over the candle, but the candle burnt too long. It seems to me you lived your life being spat on by pub people. Anyway, Carry On Henry then.
Pub people. That was Carry On Henry.
Yeah.
Our first historical.
Yes.
And it's a bloody good one.
Bloody good one. I enjoyed that a lot.
It's ruddy bloody good. Lots of gags. Loads of gags. Really gag heavy, which is good.
It tries really hard. Mm. And everyone's doing a really good job.
Mm. And it looks really good as well. Good sets. Good.
Yeah.
In general.
Mm-hmm. And I think not every actor in it is making the same film in their heads.
No.
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 But it's bloody good fun. Especially because I think
and it's got a really good pace. Because the really thing is, it's good. Not like it's considerably shorter than any others, but
no,
it doesn't, and it's not just because there's a bunch of jokes. It's because there actually is a plot. It's a genuine plot going somewhere.
Yeah, it's not a series of portmanteau events that just they stitch together in a lot of carry-ons. This has somehow been thought out, which is very rare.
And they all clock in at 86 minutes or something. Rarely go over 90. Perfect.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the beginning of the end, because you've only got another two or three good ones.
Well, you've got Convenience next, which is great.
Fantastic, we did that.
And then I think it maybe starts to go...
Well, then you get things like Carry On Dick, which is okay.
That's his last.
Yeah, Dick. Then you get England, and then you get...
So yes. He only did two more off of this, did he?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure if Dick is after Convenience, but yeah, there's only two or three left.
Well, Dick's Sid's last one.
Yeah, Dick is the last.
Sid's Dick's the last one, which we will have to do at some point. But I tell you what, because this is going to be a regular thing, Paul picked this one.
I did.
And do you want to pick another one, Dan, or shall I pick another
one? Oh, I couldn't give a shit.
Okay, good.
All right, I want to do
all of them. Mm-hmm. At some point over the course of our lives before retirement.
Yeah.
But I don't have the same affection as you two. You two have more of an encyclopedic knowledge.
Sure. Well, I'd like to pick Dick.
Oh, we'll do Karen Dick then.
Yeah,
we'll
because Dick, I haven't seen that as much either. And it's his last one.
Did they bring in... Who's the lady in Carry On Dick?
Well, it's Babs.
Babs
and Hattie are the two mains in this one. Oh, and Joni. Joni Sims.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Zsa Zsa Gabor.
And Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I know what you're thinking of, Dan. You're thinking of Carry On Behind, where it was Elke Sommer.
Yeah, I think. Do you know what? For some reason, I'm thinking of Anita
Savishit.
You're thinking of Helen Keller in Carry On.
I think I might be. I don't know. I might be thinking of Carry On Jack. Anyway, we'll get to all of them eventually.
We'll get to all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
All of them. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. Oh, by the way, just for fun.
Yeah.
What would you give this out of 10?
Oh, I'm going to give it a good 8.
Yeah, I agree.
I, do you know what? I'm going to give it a 6. Because I didn't find it. This one, as it were, went
sounds down. A bit like sex.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back soon in our rather irregular, regular carry-on features. But until next time. Keep your choppers high and keep your arms live. Goodbye.
Knickers.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.